Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Oh, citizens, another week, another opportunity to take on your projects. New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for thinkers, doers, and creatives. I'm Flippa Boyce. I'm in the mayor's office pretty late as I'm trying to get all of my projects at a certain position because I'll be leaving town at the end of the week. And so I want to make sure everything's in order. Have you had situations like that where you're like rushing to get things done, but not rushing, but like working with intent so you can leave your workspace with a clear mind and clear conscience? Maybe just me. Anyway, newamsterdam.com, newamsterdam.com. You can tell the show out over at newamsterdam on Instagram and at new_Amsterdam on that Twitter. A lot of cool things this summer, this year for me. I just recently had a birthday and I had an opportunity to like reflect and really take a moment and appreciate the wins and losses of the year this year. And my guest this episode, Lolita Malina, is someone that has found a way to make her dubs work on top of dubs. You see, she's an actor, author, activist, and more. And she's also a paraplegic as well. So being able to hear about her story and how she leaned into what people will perceive as a quote-unquote weakness into parlay that into a healthy and budding career is something you don't want to miss. But before I get into that, there is some housekeeping. Of course, this episode and all the other episodes of New Amsterdam Radio is brought to you in part by SeatGeek. You know, I'm in New York next week, going to catch a Yankee game. I'm not a Yankee fan, but I got to go to each stadium in Major League Baseball because I'm a big fan of baseball in general. I'm using SeatGeek, and SeatGeek is the best way to figure out how to get dope seats at great prices. And right now, you can get in on that action. Use promo code FLOBITO. That's FLOBITO for $20 off your first order at SeatGeek. And of course, as I record this weekend, the Orlando Aces, the Florida Grid League team, will be having their first matchup this season. And New Amsterdam Entertainment is a proud sponsor. We got our logo on the jerseys, y'all. In fact, I want to be able to acquire one to hang up in my apartment. So a lot of good things. SeatGeek, FLOBITO. Florida Grid League, make sure you root for the Orlando Aces. But enough about that. Now it's time for my inspiring chat with Lolita. Welcome back to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. It is I, the mayor, Flippa Boyce, in the mayor's office, hanging with people who are doing the dang thing. But my guest has done the thing. We're talking about acting. We're talking about activism. We're talking about so much more. Lolita, how are you doing today?
It's just been kind of a slow day for me, but, you know, enjoying the nice weather finally that's hitting the East Coast.
No, I'm just curious. What is a slow day compared to a busy day?
A busy day is being glued to my phone, and a slow day is being glued to my phone with nothing to do on it.
I hear you. I've noticed that you have so many slashes, you know, actor, activist, author, and more, and also you content creator as well. What's the order of how you list what you do when someone asks, hey, what do you do? How do you position all the many talents you have?
I would love to put actor first, even though my IMDb is a little short right now, a little shorter than I want it to be. Probably then author and then activist / advocate. It depends on how I'm feeling that day.
Absolutely. We'll get into all that in just a minute. But just for context, I'm actually on your YouTube channel as it is right now, which is pretty cool. I mean, you have a community going. You call them starlings, your fans. it's pretty awesome. But what was the idea to lean into digital content as well to get your story out there?
So before TikTok became a thing, YouTube was the big platform for people. And I got started because my father was pretty much our family videographer. He had the big old camcorders that had the actual not cassette tapes, but the film reels. And he would teach me how to work those. So after he passed away, I kind of took up the job of being the family videographer. And when YouTube was becoming a big deal, I decided, well, for things that are not home videos that are more private, I kind of want to just start filming things about my life. And I noticed there was an audience of people who had never experienced what people in wheelchairs, how they live their life. They've only ever heard the activist side of pushing for better accessibility, but they never saw someone's just day-to-day things, and people really seem to enjoy it. So I just kind of kept going with it.
Well, from someone who is from the outside looking in, I always wonder if we are doing enough to shine a light on those with disabilities. I mean, from your perspective, what can we do? What has been done? What needs to be done?
I think just get rid of the stigma that all of us are special is probably the first thing I would because my entire childhood, a lot of people would associate, if her legs don't work, something up there probably isn't right either. And I think that that's very harmful. But I also think we also need to look at people who have disabilities, and a lot of them still think like an able-bodied person. And I think that we need to show a realistic side to being someone with a disability, whether it's invisible or visible.
Sure, absolutely. And hopefully terminology evolves a way to be more inclusive as well, right? I hope that's something that we can work on together as this moves on. But let's talk about the acting thing, because I had a chance to check out some clips from the movie One Up, available now on Amazon. How'd you get involved with that? What was that experience like being on set?
It was my first big film, with because all of my other projects were either theater or indie film, which basically friends from around the neighborhood put together projects before that. So it was my first big thing. And what was funny was it was, I think, my fourth feature film audition at that point. And I didn't even look at who was making it. I just saw the prompt and said, sure, I don't find myself funny, but I'll audition for a comedy.
Okay.
And then I got the phone call and my agent said, yeah, so-and-so from Lionsgate. And I stopped and I said, you want to back up for a second and tell me who's making the film? Because I didn't read that it was Lionsgate and BuzzFeed making the film. So that was what set my brain off to, oh my goodness, this is bigger than I thought it was going to be.
So hold on. So you've done the indie scene and you took a flyer on just the talents and sensibilities, but there had to be a moment there where you said, well, this doesn't really sound like me, but I'm going for it anyway. What made you decide to push on that moment?
Beggars can't be choosers. And it was the first big audition tour. They said, hey, we really like you. Can you come out here now? And I said, of course. So that was just, my thought process was not as in-depth or as insightful as I imagined it was going to be when I finally got the yes out of the 100 no's. It was more so, yeah, I can make time.
For sure. One Up takes place in the esports world. Are you a gamer as well? Did you do some research for the role, or what did that look like, the preparation?
Growing up, I had a PlayStation 2. And
yes!
That was pretty much all we had until Nintendo DSs came out. So I was not a gamer by any stretch of the word. I had sisters who were, so I was texting them on the flight over, how do I hold the keys and whatnot. There was a little moment in the film where they were assigning the different actresses in the montage different games to play, and they asked us which ones are we most experienced in. So I got to play a PlayStation 2, which felt really good.
Oh, that's awesome. They dug it out of the museum. Well, I'm so glad that you're able to go ahead and do that, because esports is something I'm really passionate about. I'm an esports caster, so being able to see more media with that was always fun to warm my heart. But as the film was released now, has any fans come up or slid in the DMs or offer praises? What have people been saying? What's the feedback been like since the release of One Up?
Everyone's been really nice. The film is more low-key, so if you don't have Amazon Prime, probably didn't really hear of it. So there's still just that nice little, hey, I saw someone who was in this movie on Amazon and she looked a lot like you. And then I saw your name and I said, yeah, that was me. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And I think for my first big film, it was the best case scenario.
Yeah. What's left on the dream role bucket list? Do you have one of those? Do you have that vision, or is it kind of like take gig per gig, time by time, day by day?
I have little fantasies in my head of different types of roles I would love to play. But if I had to pick existing characters, probably either Oracle or a female Professor X, because I loved comic books as a kid. So probably one of those two, if I had to pick a pre-existing role.
You hear that, DC and Marvel? What's up? Let's shift gears a bit. I had a chance to peruse some of your written works. I actually thumbed through some pages of Sweet Dreams, Love Hell. But we're going to talk about your novel series, though, because it was a NaNoWriMo entry that became a whole series. Walk me through that process.
It was kind of just an assignment when I was back in high school. I was in a creative writing course, and our teacher told us, well, for your final, you have two options. You can either do this one poetry project. I hate poetry. Or you can take the, he told us, you don't have to finish it in 30 days. It's just show me like the work that you finish by November 30th, or it was December 1st at that point. So I said, you know, I hate poetry. I don't like it. I've always had this little story brewing in my head. Let me put it to words finally, because I never got the chance to. And I finished it, I think my family and I had a little celebration. I think it was like the 20th, the 21st of November. And I finished at 64,000 some odd words.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
My first, I guess my only, because the other one I got cheated on, but the first ever NaNoWriMo thing I've ever done was like 50,001. Like, it was just like the end. I was like, I did it. but walk me through that series, though. It's a psychological thriller, 2459, or is it 2459 and 0101, or is it 0101?
It's however you want to pronounce it.
Okay.
So with books, growing up, I'm a first generation immigrant and an orphan at the time. And I got a lot of inspiration from that as a child growing up. I also love scary movies. I love sci-fi. Alien was my first favorite sci-fi horror film. So when I found out that I didn't have really a name in the orphanage, but I had a number, 2459, I started piecing little stories together, wheeling around my childhood home, and kind of came up with the plot over a course of over a decade, and then I finally put it to words and a sequel.
So 2459 or 2459 is actually your actual number when you were an orphan as a child. Yeah. That must have been pretty like traumatic or close to home to write that whole fictional story around a very real nugget of your life.
It was a real piece of my life, but it's a piece that I don't remember. Basically, it was just my father had gone through so many hoops to find documentation from overseas so I would have as much information of where I came from and all of that stuff. So it was more like reading someone else's story with no memory that it was my own. So I was a lot of creative freedom with it.
And it won an award, I believe.
Yes, it won the NaNoWriMo Award. I got it a few days late because they tried to say I didn't surpass the 50,000 word count. So I had to submit it like twice. But yes, it did win eventually.
Well, if you guys are just tuning in, when Lolita shoots, she don't miss. What? Award for some out. That's fantastic. And I know there's going to be more in this series down the pipe, correct?
There's going to be one more book with that, if I can ever get around to writing it, because I have about 10 or so stories right now I'm trying to put together. So it's lately been on the back burner for the past few years, unfortunately.
I always say don't worry about it. I mean, Huckleberry Finn took a 7-year break when Mark Twain was writing to finish it. So it's all gravy, you know. A lot of times when it comes to content, we kind of getting ourselves to like pump things out. But if you find a way to make it happen, you make it work. And that actually leads me to my next question. You have a presence on YouTube, definitely have a presence on TikTok, just shy of 800,000 followers by the time we record this. Is that a grind to keep that up, or do you like run dry of ideas, or is it kind of like, no, I got a Word doc. I got 30 ideas. I'm going ham with it.
No, I hit dry spells, and TikTok's algorithm is very different than others that I've encountered, to where if you're not uploading consistently, I see the numbers drop, and it's very weird how their system works and how it boots followers off. Cause I've gotten people tell me, hey, I saw that you didn't upload for weeks. And I said, I upload every day or every other day if I can manage it. So it's very weird how the algorithm works. It's kind of a double-edged sword with it. But yeah. I love the account, even though I started it technically on a dare from my little sister years ago. But it has become a great source for getting my name out there, getting my creative elements out there for people to see and people enjoy it. So
What's been your perspective as a social media creator? You know, we've had the refrain that social media is not real, but then it also does provide lifestyles for a lot of people, myself included. Just as someone that works in that, you have your idea, you have your work, but you also are a presence digitally. What's been your take on the importance of social media for brand building and all that stuff?
I think people enjoy my content because I was raised to be very realistic. I don't basically what people see on my TikTok is what people see when they like, come over to my house. How they see me on TikTok is how people see me in real life, because I don't have the energy to put on a facade to appear. I don't have the energy or the want to do that. Yeah. And I get them confused too often. And I feel like people who do that lose their sense of self eventually. But if they can handle it, that's great. It's not something I do. And I think people really enjoy that side of me, which is just who I am. And I think that's why people tend to stick around.
So do you believe in a personal brand, or is it just like, this is who I am?
I don't even consider myself an influencer. I'm just someone who loves to make content during her free time, which tends to be a lot of it. So I'm just someone who happens to create content people enjoy, and people like brands will come towards me and say, will you sponsor this? And I'll say, if I really genuinely like it, yes. I don't take brand deals just to make money. I don't make money on the majority of the things that I sponsor. I sponsor them because I really do like the product or the thing behind it.
Well, actually, that is my next question. So definitely having an affinity for a brand helps out with brand partnerships. But is there anything specifically you're looking for? Are you doing like more kind of brands in a particular segment, or ones that some you vibe with other friends in your social network? Like, how do you really like vet these brands you decide to work with?
I love anything that I can apply to things I genuinely enjoy. The first big one was an eye contact company, and I have always wanted to see what I look like with different color eyeballs. I've also during the time I was a cosplayer, that's kind of another big thing that people really enjoyed seeing. So I said, oh, I can put these towards the cosplay ideas. And then a special effects brand came to me with some of their brands. I love learning how to do special effects. I've been doing it since I was about 16, 17 years old, when I save up money to go buy the liquid latex at Spirit Halloween when it was in town. So I try to look at these brands of, can I apply them at any given situation, or am I just going to have it gather dust on my desk after the video's done?
Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned it. It's kind of funny how Spirit Halloween just shows up and just disappears.
Oh, 31 days. Bye.
So to say you do a lot is an understatement. And a lot of people that I know who are creatives or entrepreneurs have ideas for all of those. Like, I want to write this. I want to run this marathon. I want to paraglide. I want to high five Oprah. What keeps you going during times of self-doubt when someone goes, you're X years old, you can't do that, you should be getting a real job, et cetera, et cetera?
I'm very stubborn. If you're into astrology, my rising sign is a Taurus. They are notorious for being very hard-headed. And if you tell someone like me that, hey, maybe you should do this, maybe you should do that, I was raised that everyone can give you good advice, but that good advice may not be applicable to you. So you have to pick and choose which advice you can apply to yourself. And a lot of that advice does not apply to who I am. So that's just how I see it. I said, thank you for the advice, but it's not for me.
Can I press you on that? Like, what makes you say, oh, that's good advice, I'm gonna take that, versus that's good advice, but pass? Like, is there like a sniff test, an internal BS meter? Like, how's that work?
I look at it as, I know what my goals are. I've known what they've been for well over almost 2 decades. And if I'm looking at that going, could I make a plan A, B, and C based on your advice? Or can I only make a plan A? And if it fails, I'm done. If I cannot make a plan A, B, C, D, E with your advice, I'm probably not going to take it outside of consideration.
Whew. That's bars. That's science. I love it. How do you go about divvying up your time to do so many things during the day and have time for personal time and all that jazz?
People try to make out that content creators are very busy. We're not. I'm sure other content creators might see this and then go to my DMs going, what are you talking about? I'm busy. It's harder than a 9-to-5. Really? If you're a TikToker primarily, which is, I would say, what I am right now, I take maybe 10, 15 minutes out of my day to edit content. And then I have pretty much the rest of my day free outside of answering emails. So, and maybe the audition here and there. So I have a lot of free time personally.
No, that's great. So basically you say, hey, look, my hour is for this, my hour is for that. And then yep. Bam, content factory coming through. Thanks for being so much on New Amsterdam Radio. Before we get out of here, though, there are some questions we ask all our guests to get a little bit, no, well, like a lightning round kind of a situation, but you go as deep as you like. You down? You game?
Sure.
All right, cool. Everyone collects something. What does Aletha collect?
Memories.
I mean, I guess that counts, but come on. You know, no Funko Pops anywhere? All right, fine. Do you believe in days off? And if so, what do you do?
I like to sleep. I really love napping. I consider myself half cat.
Like just the midday naps are the yep. bomb or okay, gotcha. Now, those are great. I can't lie to you. Just that 2 p.m. nap is chef's kiss. What or where is on your travel bucket list?
Oh, I would love to visit Europe because my adopted father was from Scotland and Ireland. I would love to visit there. Tied with going back to Aruba. It's my favorite island.
Oh, real? That's awesome. I had the pleasure of visiting Scotland this year. Stirling Castle changed my life. The whole William Wallace thing, the Braveheart vibe was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. How do you combat writer's block? What's your writer's block blocker?
I fall asleep because my brain gives me stories in the works of dreams with a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I wake up, I write it down, and then I get back to work.
Love it. Two more for you. Favorite cartoon of all time? TV show, of course.
Tom and Jerry or SpongeBob.
Oh, wow. Classics. And lastly, what is your favorite junk food?
Popcorn.
What? Is it chocolate covered?
No, I make Sicilian popcorn. It's a recipe within my family.
Oh, so it's like top secret.
No, I can give you the whole recipe.
Okay, what makes it junk food then?
You put a lot of spices into it and then a black truffle butter.
Oh, there you go. It's high class popcorn. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I appreciate your sharing your experiences. We have everything else you're working on the show notes. If there is any way anyone can engage with you, follow you on social media, slide in the DMs with praise, how they go about doing that.
Literally just Google my name. All my social medias do pop up. I also have a link tree. Once you find the Instagram, everything's there under Lolita Molina. I try to make it very easy for people.
You know, it took me 15 years, but the first time I can Google my name, I was like, yes, I made it. Take that, Bing.
My name, it might sound conceited, but it's just so cool to build as you go. It's really cool. Like little building blocks.
Absolutely. It's how empires are started. But thank you so much for being on the show, New Amsterdam, the podcast for creatives. We'll chat soon.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's KNEW amsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.